こんにちは。
こんにちは。
バイリンガルニュースでは日本語と英語でニュースを紹介しています。その後にマイケルは英語で、私は日本語でバイリンガル会話形式でコメントしていきます。1個目、日本の大手を含む住宅関連企業68社で違法伐採が疑われる合板を輸入使用していることが発覚し、今日熱帯林行動ネットワークとマーケットフォーチェンジが共同で報告書を発表しました。木材を大量に輸出してきたマレーシアのサラワク州では、熱帯林の急速な伐採による環境破壊、先住民の強制立ち退き、絶滅危惧種への被害など様々な問題が続いているため、先進国ではサラワク州産の合板を排除する取り組みが進んでいます。一方、日本はサラワク州産合板の最大の輸入国で、日本国内のフローリングや型枠に広く使用しています。オリンピックに向けた新国立競技場にも違法伐採された木材が使用される可能性が高く、国際社会から批判が高まっています。
68 companies responsible for most of Japan's housing construction may be involved in purchasing and using wood for flooring that is obtained through illegal deforestation. Today, the Japan Tropical Forest Action Network and Market for Change have published a joint report. In Sarawak, the region in Malaysia where most of the wood is sourced, rapid deforestation is resulting in environmental destruction, forced evictions of indigenous populations, loss of endangered species, and so on. In response to this, developed nations are moving to exclude wood sourced from Sarawak. On the other hand, Japan is the largest importer of Sarawak timber, which is being used primarily for flooring and molds. It is also a possibility that Japan will use Sarawak timber in the construction of the new stadium in preparation for the Olympics, which would likely come under criticism by the international community.
So,これは3つ問題があって、森林減少率がすごく高いって世界の中でもこのサラワクの熱帯林は言われていて、もともとあったうち原生林はもう 5% しか残ってないっていうこと。2つ目は生物多様性が世界の中でもすごく多いって言われてる地域なんだけれども、うん、世界の生物多様性の 6% がここにある。で、3つ目は先住民の人たち、ここにもう代々ずっと住んできた人たちがもう本当に寝てる間にと企業が来て周りを全部ブルドーザーで取っちゃってみたいな。で、そこから追い出される、うん、で抵抗すると警察に連れて行かれて虐待されたりっていうケースが報告されているとかもあって、まあ、こういうさまざまな問題が日本からの需要で起こっていることであるっていうこと、うん。
How big of a problem for this is the corruption of the local government?
So, その現地の政府の汚職っていうのがもう長年指摘されていて、マレーシアの中央政府の、方針とは異なった、
mm.
考え方で、こう、こういう伐採の認可証をどんどん出しちゃったり、賄賂を受け取ったり。だから違法に伐採されている木材はもちろんダメなのは誰にでもわかるけれども、ここの地域の場合は合法だとしても、そのきちんと例えば原生林が守られているかとか、現地の人の人権が守られているかとか、じゃあオランウータンとかウンピョウとか絶滅に瀕している動物たちの命を守っているかとか、そういうのが全部無視されてた上で合法で認可が出ている可能性があるから、他の先進国ではもうサラワク州産の合板は買うのをやめましょうっていうで、買うのをやめることによって現地のこういう悪い企業たちはやっていけないわけだから、
うん、
ってやってる中で、日本がガンガン輸入していて、そこにお金を落としているから。
Has that not even been reduced at all recently? Or?
昔から比べるとこうグラフで見るとちょっとは減ってはいるんだけど、それでも I'm not sure, but ただ今でもサラワク州産の合板全体の 60% ぐらいを日本が輸入していて、まあ、最大の輸入国であることには変わりがないんだけど、 どういうプロセスになってるかっていうとすごく難しくて、これが基本的に責任のなすりつけ合いみたいな感じになってるわけよ。要は現地に伐採企業があります、マレーシアの、
うん、
でそこから、まあ、伊藤忠、三井、双日、丸紅とかそういう大きい商社が木を買ってきて、それをダイケンとかパナソニックみたいなフローリングを作ってる会社に売ると、
うん、
でそれを大東建託、積水、大和、タマホームみたいな住宅企業が買ってきて、で最終的に野村、三井、住友、三菱、東急みたいな不動産会社が買って消費者に売る、うん、まあ、消費者なり企業なりに売って、right. みんなの家のフローリングになったり型枠になったりしてるんだけど、うん、ここまで間にたくさんの大手が入っていながらこの問題が未だに解決されないっていうのは、みんながじゃあこの問題を知らないのかって思ったんだけど、実際はこういう団体が報告書なりあのサラワクから輸入するのやめてくださいっていうのもセミナーとか会合とかをどんどん開いて教えてあげてるわけよ。でそれを1年間モニターしてきて結局対策がなされてない。唯一、まあ、ちょっと対策してるなっていう頑張ってる努力が見られるのは三沢ホームだけで、あとは基本的に
Well, right now there's no legal basis for action against these companies, is there?
そうなの、日本の法律がゆるゆるだからこれをやってることによって特に罰則がないんだよね。
Right, and it's right now it's the most profitable arrangement for these companies to buy their stuff from these locations in Sarawak, and it's the most profitable arrangement for Sarawak to keep with the illegal deforestation.
だから現地の政府からすると、いやこれはうちの国策だから、うちの国だってとか地域だってお金を稼がなきゃいけないんだから、自分たちの森なんだからほっといてくれっていう言い分があるわけじゃない。まあそれはそれで外から変えるのはなかなか難しいから、だからやっぱりこの先進国の責任を持ってどこから原材料を輸入してくるのかっていうのをいかに倫理的にするかっていう取り組みが必要なんだけど、それを日本は全然できていないっていう。
Well, it's interesting to think if you're expecting change in this domain, where is it supposed to come from? You can't really have the Japanese government come in and regulate these companies when there hasn't really been people putting pressure on the government to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't have the government necessarily going after Malaysia themselves, you know, just because of sovereignty.
Yeah.
One seemingly effective way to go about this would to simply leverage the fact that people care about these species and these rainforests and these precious resources that we have. So you can go from the consumer to put pressure on Japanese companies,
yeah,
which will then put pressure on Sarawak.
Yeah.
And then that's really the flowchart by which change can most immediately be achieved, I think.
そう、だからこの事実がもうちょっとちゃんと日本で認知されて、例えば、まあ、最終的にマンションを買う消費者とかもそうだし、投資してる人たち、銀行とか、
mm-hmm.
あとまあこういう不動産会社が究極のクライアントなわけだから、その人たちがいや絶対にサラワク州産の合板が入ってるんだったら買いたくないとか投資したくないって言えば、そこからどんどんそれが芋づる式に伝わっていって、
mm-hmm.
結局じゃあサラワクから買うのやめましょうかなのか、じゃあサラワクのものでももっと基準を高くしてきちんといろんな条件をクリアしたものだけにしましょうってなるのかっていう動きにつながっていくんだけど、今のままだともうやりたい放題のままで企業も全く責任を取ってない状態だから、
mm-hmm. And it's important for companies to act sooner rather than later、
mm-hmm.
in order to preserve their own brand、
yeah.
And so this isn't any corporation that is going to take moves to resist this sort of thing is only going to beworse off in the long run, I think.
そう、この原生林って本当にもう 一回全部切っちゃったら後でじゃあ木を植えればいいとかそういうものじゃなくて、もうどんなにお金があっても買い戻せない本当に貴重なものなんだよね。それをガンガンフローリングとかにして使ってるっていう。
you know, We watch all these crazy nature documentaries、mm-hmm. and people see them on NHK and or you know、yeah. whatever. We've all seen them. We all appreciate them. We、mm-hmm. all、benefit a lot personally、
yeah.
being able to see and think about and appreciate these places. Well, where do we think these places are?They're、yeah. on our planet. They're、yeah. in these places that are being affected right now by the、so. things that we're doing.
なんか本当に最近そのファームユーノもやってていろいろ調べてて、日本ってこう消費者の人にはさ、じゃあ電気つけっぱなしにするのやめましょう、エコバッグ使ってください、リサイクル分別やってくださいってすごく言うじゃない、mm-hmm. でも企業の方がインパクトは全然比べもならないくらい大きいのに、企業に対しては全然緩い。だからこれは本当に消費者の人がみんな怒った方がいいというか、例えば自分の家のフローリングにじゃあサラワクシューさんのものが使われてる可能性はすごく高いわけよ、今日本で聞いてる人にとってはね。でそれがさ、消費者からしたら、いや自分のフローリングのためにオラウータが死んでるとか、先住民の人がホームレスになってるとか、あのまあ、人権を侵害されてるとか、森が思いっきり切られてるとか、
mm-hmm.
そこまでしてフローリング欲しくなかったっていう人もいっぱいいると思うんだよね、
mm-hmm.
とかそこまでして安く、もうちょっとじゃあお金を出してもいいから、そうじゃないものが買いたかったとか。だからこれは消費者もバカにしてるというか、企業がね、その自分たちの利益のためにこの現状を知った上でそれでも全然気にしませんっていう人の方が少ないと思うんだよね。いろいろ調べてみてくれればみんなわかると思うんだけど。
How does the process actually go when they cut these places down? You know, like there's all these things in these forests. It's not just trees, you know.
So
I don't know if they're walking through there and they just, you know, wake up any napping orangutans and it's like, hey, it's time to get out of here. Or if they just start, they just start cutting stuff down. But I've brought this up before, but when I went to Malaysia and、yeah. took that train from KL、
mm-hmm.
to Central Market, and you're basically on a bullet train, a high-speed train, and you're、yeah. going through...palm oil fields on both sides of the tracks、
yeah.
for like an hour straight. It's、mm-hmm. unbelievable how、so. much.
で、この違法伐採の話とパーム油って実はつながっていて、違法伐採で、まあ、木をどんどん切るじゃない、
mm.
で、その時は根こそぎ切ってるわけじゃなくて、まあ、使えそうな木をガーって切るんだけど、もう売れるものがなくなってくると、今度はそこ全部根こそぎブルドーズして、そこにパーム油のプランテーションを建てるわけよ。でそこまで行っちゃうと、もう本当にそこに住んでた動物、虫なり絶滅危惧種なり鳥なり植物なり木なりってい
う
のはもう全部根こそぎ殺されてるわけで、でそれに その戻ってこないものの価値と、じゃあこれをパーム油にしますとか木材にしますって言って得られる経済的価値なんてもう全然少ないわけよ。ただその目の前のお金しか見てないっていう意味でこれが起きてるんだけど、だから私がね正直信じられないのは、その商社の人とかって現地に行くじゃん、行ってその原生林を見てさ、実際に目で、でその虫なり鳥なり動物なりにもアクセスがある状態で、でも頭の中にお金のことしかないわけでしょ。あ、ここ全部切ったらこれぐらいのお金になる、これぐらいの利益をうちの会社が得られるとか、
right. But a lot of the local people are thinking the same way too. A lot of the local people are just selling this stuff out too. And you know, from the perspective of these countries, it's like, oh yeah, it's so easy for this country to say that. It's so, because we've cut everything else down. Everything else is already.
Yeah, so it's like 現地の人とか政府はもちろんお金が欲しいじゃん、
mm-hmm.
だ周りの先進国みたいに自分たちも発展したい、だそのためにこれを売りますって思うのはもう責められないし仕方ない。ただそこに先進国としてどんどん加担していくのか、責任を持ってそうじゃないものを選んでいくのかっていう、それを怠ってるっていうのは日本人として恥ずかしいし、特にこの新国立競技場とか本当に信じられないじゃん。違法伐採された木材を避けられないってさ、国立競技場だよ、びっくりするわ。だからこれは、まあ、消費者の人にできることっていうのはやっぱり、まあ、こういう企業に電話で問い合わせてサラワクの話を聞いたんですけど使ってますかとかって聞いてくれるとか、まあ、自分がマンションなりな家なりを購入するときにその業者にこういうのは避けたいんですけどオプションありますかって聞いてみるとか、そういう人が例えば今まで0人だったのが今月急に5人いたとか10人いたとかっていうだけでも企業にはプレッシャーを与えられるから、ぜひ、あの家の購入を考えてる人とかそうじゃなくても気になる人はどこでもね大手の、あの商社なり住宅企業なりさっき挙げた、ね、いろんな会社は使ってるので電話して聞いてみてほしい。
In economics there's this concept of information in any market、
mm-hmm.
and the behavior of the market depends largely on information、it's crazy how much improving the information in a market can really change it、
yeah.
and if youSo like、valuation of things is part of information.、
Mm.
And if we could figure out how much these、rainforests are worth,、
yeah.
That would immediately change the value, the behavior of the market.
だからで、まあ、そう今言った情報っていうのがやっぱ大事で、このマーケットフォーチェンジの CEO のペグパッドさんっていう人がいるんだけど、先週その人とまあ電話で話してて、なんでこれがこの話が日本では全然メディアで報道されないんだろうっていう話をしててね、彼女はこの68社が違法伐採の木材使ってるって衝撃じゃないみたいな、いや衝撃だよって言ったんだけど、衝撃だから国民が知らないから、あの普通にしてるだけで、別に日本人がすごく冷たい人種なわけじゃないし、動物のこと嫌いな国っていうわけでもないし、これを知らないからだと思う。で、要は日本国内で法律を犯してるわけじゃないから、やっぱりこういう企業がスポンサーについてるテレビとかではなかなか取り上げてもらえないんだよね、どうしても。
So, what should we do in terms of alternatives? In alternatives to this and, I mean, do we need alternative sources?Do we need alternative materials? It seems like maybe we could use something other than trees.
なんか alternative material があればそれは一番いいのかもしれないし、そこまでいかなくても例えば国産の木材を使うとか、他にも木材を輸出してる国っていっぱいあるわけで、このサラワクとロシアとあとどっかこう何カ国かね、木材を輸入する先のブラックリストに載ってる箇所なわけ、これって。だからせめてそのブラックリストに載ってるところからは買わないようにするとかね、でできることはいろいろあるんだけど、やっぱり利益をいかに最大に得るかっていうことを企業が考えちゃうと結局こういうことになるから、
Supposedly consumer activism isReally on the rise now.
そうだね。欧米だとね、結構その消費行動によって企業の対応を変えられるっていう、まあ、成功事例がいっぱい出てきてるから、日本もやろうと思えばそれは絶対にできるはずなんだよね。
It's just taking responsibility and actually being an adult. This idea that, you know, everything that's happening and the government allows is okay and is what's supposed to be happening、yeah. is childish.
だから結構一つさ、環境問題についてみんながあんまり聞きたくないとか話したくないっていうのって自分にできることないからじゃん。まあ電気つけっぱにしないとかぐらいはできるけど、じゃあ何が他にできるんだろうってなった時にあまり普段は提示されてないから、なんかこう嫌な気持ちになるだけで別にできることもなくってなっちゃうと思うんだけど、実はできることって いうのはそういう電話してみるとかも一つであって、それが意外と大きな力を持つこともあるから、あの、まあ、パーム油に関してもこういう違法伐採に関しても、あの、
Well, I think ultimately, being an ignorant person is going to be considered uncool. And so the more things that you are doing are involved with, you're just going to, culturally, the perception of things that do damage to the environment has changed dramatically in just the last few years.
Yeah.
And that's only going to worsen. And so people who, you know, I don't want to hear about it, like, I'm not trying to deal with that.
Yeah.
What does that have to do with me? Well, it has everything to do with you, because we're, our ignorance is the source of this whole problem. So,
yeah. そう、だから別になんか怒りながら企業に電話しなくてもよくて、そういう必要は全くなくて、単純にこう気になってるんですけど、どういう対処されてるんですかとか、こういうの使ってるんですかって、まあ、優しく聞くだけでも、あの、企業からすると、あ、結構みんなの関心が高いんだなっていう風に知ってもらえるきっかけになるから、Yes、これは本当にね、
It's cool。
うん、次、昨日オーストラリア政府交通安全局が北京発メルボルン行きの飛行機内で女性客が使用していたヘッドフォンの電池が爆発したことを発表しました。女性客は爆発で顔や手を負傷し、火花が出て発火しているヘッドフォンは添乗員が水をかけて火を消しました。サムスンのギャラクシーノート7や安価なホバーボードの爆発などリチウムイオン電池の爆発が相次いでいます。
Yesterday, the Australian Transport Safety Bureau announced that a woman's pair of headphones exploded during a flight from Beijing to Melbourne while she was wearing them. When the headphones exploded, the woman was burned both on her face and her hand. Flight attendants quickly arrived and poured water on the device. The events follow explosions of lithium batteries in Samsung's Galaxy Note 7, cheap hoverboards, and other electronic products.
そう、写真見た？
I saw her burns, yeah.
Yeah, なんか真っ黒になっちゃってたよね、首のとことか。
Looks smoky.
うん。で、これが何のヘッドフォンだったかっていうのは公表されてなくて、あの、ヘッドフォンの問題じゃなくて電池の問題だったからっていう理由なんだけど、なのでワイヤレスヘッドフォンだったのか、ノイズキャンセリング機能がついたワイヤー付きのヘッドフォンだったのかは分かんないんだけど、なんか多いよね、やっぱ爆発。
Is there something about the airplane that is triggering explosions or could trigger explosions?
なんかこの特定の件に関しては分かんないんだけど、この交通安全局が出してた注意の中に、その携帯とかヘッドフォンをシートの隙間とかに落としちゃった時に椅子を動かさないでくださいみたいな。どこにあるか確認できない場合はとりあえず添乗員を呼んでくれって書いてあって、
right. you might、まあ、そういうこともあるのかな、うん
うん、まあ、この女性の場合はヘッドフォンつけて寝てたら急に爆発したみたいだから、なんかに挟まれたりしたわけではない
と思う。 That must have been so loud.
Yeah, だって耳だよ怖いよ。
So she, but she was fine, yeah. She wasn't
そう、あの、
seriously、
まあ、病院
wounded.
うん、あの、なんか本当にすごい治療が必要な怪我っていうわけじゃなくて、ちょっと手が水ぶくれになったり、まあ、顔からがちょっと切れちゃったりしたくらいで。
Did she just buy those in Beijing?
わかんないんだよ、それが。中国ですごい安い製品を買ってこうなったのか、わかんない。
I mean, it seems likely. I mean, usually stuff fails when you first try to use it.
だからこのヘッドフォンのブランドを言わないっていうのはちょっと謎だよね。なんか電池の問題だったとしてもさ、電池の問題だったとしても、その電池を使ってるっていうことでさ、どのブランドだったかは知りたいよね、さすがに。
I think I saw that it was like melted into the floor or something.
あ、そうそうそうそう、あの、バッテリーの蓋がね、
they couldn't even remove it from the floor. It was like stuck there the whole flight.
溶けちゃったからね。
And people were coughing and sick.
だって今、あの、空港行くとギャラクシーノート7は禁止ですって書いてあるもんね。
That's so crazy. That's so many people that have that phone.
もう武器だもんね。だってそんな知らない間に爆発するとか発火するとか。
Just terrorists with bags full of Samsungs.
そうでもリチウムイオン電池ってなんかちっちゃい中にものすごい量のエネルギーが入ってるから。まあ、危ないといえば危ないっていろんな専門家が言ってるよね。まあ、危ないって言ってもそんななんていうの何万人に一人みたいな割合ではあるけどもなんかなんていうのすごい安い変な USB につなぐとかちょっと破損してるとか、まあ、ギャラクシーノートの時みたいになんかちっちゃいなんていうの電池を入れるケースがちっちゃすぎるとかだっけなんかそういうちょっとしたことで、あの
Yeah. Well, Samsung has really been operating on just the absolute edge of, I mean, their margins are so thin on those devices.
Right.
They really have to push everything to the limit. So, and then they're making so many. So when you have one defect and you don't, things aren't thoroughly tested until there's like, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of phones out there.
そうだよね。
Yeah, this battery thing has been pretty crazy.
Yeah. 次。1963年にイェール大学で実施され、有名になったミルグラム実験では、他人に電気ショックを与えるよう指示された人間が、どこまで指示に従って電圧を上げるかを試しましたが、同様の実験がポーランドで行われ、結果が学会誌ソーシャルサイコロジカル&パーソナリティサイエンスに掲載されました。オリジナルのミルグラム実験では、電圧の設定が最大450ボルトだったため、電圧を受けているふりをする桜の人が絶叫し、最終的には動かなくなるという過激なものでしたが、今回は倫理的な理由から電気ショックの度合いを低めに設定しました。80人の被験者のうち 90% が10段階中最高レベルまで電圧を上げ、50年前と変わらず人間は指示に従ってしまうことが分かりました。
In 1963, researchers at Yale University conducted a famous experiment called the Milgram experiment, in which subjects were tested to see their willingness to obey an authority figure, and they were instructed to administer increasingly greater shocks to a third party.The study has been recreated and is published in Social, Psychological, and Personality Science. In the original Milgram study, the person administering the shocks was told that the voltage had a maximum of 450 volts, and after the shock, the actors would scream and stop moving. In the latest experiment, they have lowered the fake shock voltage and found that out of 80 people, 90% of them were willing to comply and turn the shock level up to 10.Suggesting that human nature has not changed much since the 50s and that people generally obey authority.
そう、これ元はナチのアイヒマンっていう人が、あの東欧で行ったユダヤ人虐殺について、あの、まあ、この人はものすごい数のユダヤ人を殺すことに関わってた人なんだけど、結局逃亡して捕まった時にはまあみんなが思ってたのとは全然違う普通のおとなしめの人だったっていうことから、どんなに普通の人でも戦争になったりしてこう権威のある人から命令されたらものすごく非道なことでもやってしまうんじゃないかっていうところからやった実験なんだけど、もともとの実験ではあの被験者にこう体罰の有用性について調べる実験ですって嘘ついて呼び出して、で生徒役の桜が問題を間違えるごとに電気ショックを与えてくださいって言われる。で、まあ、最大450ボルトっていうものすごい電圧をにどんどん上げていって、どの段階で被験者があもうやりたくありませんかわいそうだからみたいにやめるかっていうのを見た実験だったんだけど、オリジナルだと300ボルトまでは全員がやっちゃった、で450ボルト最大までいったのは 60% だから、それでも半数以上の人が、あの450ボルトって相当だよね。 なんか痛いとかのレベルじゃないからもう死んじゃう。でこれを見るとなんかこの今回の論文の人が言ってたのは、大半の人がこの実験を見て、いや自分は絶対やらない、こんなひどいことバカじゃないのって言うんだけど、
うん、
今回の実験を見るとやっぱりやっちゃうじゃんっていうことが分かりました。
Yeah. Do you think we would as well? Like,
分かんない。
I guess we don't, you don't really know what you'll do in these circumstances.、
うん、まあ、だから大半の人と同様に私もこれだけ見たら、いや絶対自分はやんないだろうと思うけど、
I mean, it's weird to think、
みんなそう思っちゃうからね。
It's weird to think that what happened with Nazi Germany can happen、うん、today. And、
yeah.
and it may have not been something、the circumstances which led to it may not have been all that unique.
Yeah. そうだ、そのやっぱりこれだけ見たら絶対自分はやらないと思ってるけど、実際実験するとほとんどの人がやるっていうギャップが面白いというのか怖いというのか、ナチとか、ね、戦争とかもみんな後から振り返ったら何考えてたんだろう、絶対自分だったら何ヒトラーなんて応援しないとか思うけど、
Well, I think it's a statement. Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's okay.
Oh, it's a statement about our inability to predict our own behaviors.
そうそうそう。
Because we make predictions about our behaviors based on whatever state of mind you're in when you're making the prediction.
そうそう。
But that doesn't make any sense.
そう。
Because the state of mind that you're going to be in is probably very different and not something that you can necessarily quantify or objectively understand.
うん。そう。で、なんかこれって電気ショックをどんどん与えていく途中でちょっと躊躇する人とかも出てくるわけよ、やっぱり。え、いいのかな、うん、その時にすごい権威がありそうな博士っぽい人が、
うん、
いや大丈夫ですからやってくださいとか、あなたにやってもらわないといけないんですとかってちょっと言うんだよね、
うん、
そうするとみんな、あそうなんだって言って、
right.
押しちゃうボタンを。
The authority figure I thinkGives you a sense of diminished responsibility
for your actions. そうなの。そうそうそう。そう、だからオリジナルのミリグラム実験でも、あ、ちょっと嫌だなって思い出した時に、いや、あなたに責任は来ませんからって言うと、mm. 結局みんなやっちゃう。あ、そうなんだ。じゃあまあいっかみたいな感じで。
Mm.
ただそのボタンを押すごとに、あっちの部屋ではギャーとかもうやめてとか言ってるわけで、
うん、
責任とかの問題なのかっていう感じだけど、ただそういう心理状態になっちゃうとボタンを押しちゃうっていう。
I mean this level of compliance in this scenario is terrifying when you realize that the circumstances in real life like Nazi Germany, that environment is a much higher pressure environment、
うん、
and much more difficult to resist, I think.
そうそう。本当にそう。
And this is assuming that you disagree with the idea at all in the first place, which may not be the case either.、
うん、だから変な話、その今日最初に話したサラバクの話とかもつながっていて、うん、みんなどっかしらで多分企業の人も、あ、これ良くないなって分かってると思うんだよね。データも見てるわけだし、うん、でもまあ自分個人の責任じゃないし、まあ上がやれっていうし、
mm-hmm.
まあじゃあいっかみたいな感じが集合体となって、
well, it's,
まあこの木材だけじゃなくて環境問題全体そうだけど、
It's worse than that because if you're running a business, you have a legal obligation to maximize its profitability. In other words, we actually have、legal structuring in the corporate world that could actually penalize people for doing things that are good for the environment.、investors may not. You could get fired or thrown out of there. Like, even if you run a company, your personal values aren't necessarily supposed to come before the profitability of the company.
そう、だから本当はもうちょっとね、規制とかができればいいんだけど、そのインベスター、投資家とか銀行に関しては結構まあ、海外だと進めてるところはあるよね。やっぱりその倫理的に良くない企業には投資をしないとか融資をしないとか、
mm-hmm.
ただ日本の銀行はそういうクライテリアが ないわけじゃないんだけど、かなりゆるゆるだから全然、うん、まあさっき挙げた68社も別にね、投資なり融資なりは簡単に受けられちゃうわけだから、
うん、like this experiment shows、these people、even if they have a moral conviction internally that is different、
うん、
in this sort of authoritarian structurepeople can act quite contrary to their personal feelings.
Yeah. そうだね。だからこう、な、そうだね。だから自分も。
And I don't think that regulations, are the answer, and are going to save this planet. I think if we, people collectively who care about the environment, throw a Hail Mary with everything we have on regulations, it's not going to work. It has to be the market itself has to function in a way that reinforces good values.
Mm.
And so we need to change how the market itself operates. If these, when you make regulations for a specific industry, whatever the regulation is, it is some kind of exception.
Yeah.
And that is some kind of unfairness and some kind of inefficiency in the market generally. So if we can move the market and the economy itself towards one that by improving our information changes the valuation of our resources and changes behavior that way, it would probably work faster and smoother.
Mm-hmm.
次、Beijing has announced a plan to gradually replace all 67,000 currently operating taxis with electric vehicles. The plan mandates that all new taxis must be electric vehicles. It is estimated that replacing the entire fleet will cost $1.3 billion. Currently, China is estimated to have more than 600,000 electric vehicles on the road.
北京市は現在運行中のタクシー6万7000台すべてを順次に電気自動車に入れ替える計画を発表しました。この計画では北京市内のタクシーすべてが電気自動車でなくてはいけないと明記されています。この入れ替えには13億ドル、およそ1400億円がかかると見積もられています。現在中国では60万台以上の電気自動車が利用されていると推定されています。素晴らしいね。
Yep. This is a big deal for taxis because taxis spend so much time idling.
そうだね。
We have taxis in Tokyo that spend probably most of the time idling.
そうだね。
With electric vehicles, idling is nothing. So.
まあ走ってる時でも空車の時はね、別に目的地があるわけじゃなくて。
Mm-hmm.
お客さん捕まえるためにぐるぐるしてるだけだけどガソリン使っちゃってるもんね。
Mm-hmm. One challenge for this, I mean, they're not replacing all of them at once,、
mm-hmm.
so it might be okay, but、one challenge in Beijing and in China were places that have a lot of electric cars,、they don't have enough charging infrastructure、
mm-hmm.
as it is right now.And charging infrastructure, particularly in cities, is quite difficult.、
Mm.
So, like I have a parking space right now, but if I owned an electric car, like where there's nowhere to plug that,
そう、なんか、
that in. So,
うちの親のマンションで車に、まあ、チャージャーがない、何？いや、車じゃない、車庫にチャージャーがついてないのね。Mm. だけどテスラ運転してる人がいたんだって。でうちのお父さんが充電どうしてるんですかってその人に聞いたら、そのマンションの近くにテスラがあるからそこで充電してるって言ってた。だから家の近くにある人はね、それができるからいいけど、
うん、
それがないとね。
Isn't it weird? Just it seems like not a difficult thing to install、
だからどっちが先かだよね。それこそだから電気自動車を買う人がいるから車庫にそれをつけるのか、車庫にそれがついてれば電気自動車を買おうって思う人もいるのか、実は。
Well, as it is right now, you can't put gasoline in your car at home. So you have to go to a gas station, which probably takes you I don't know, 5 minutes
mm-hmm.
To charge a Tesla at all, you'd probably need 30 minutes to get, I think it slows down after a certain percentage of charge, but
you only need 30 minutes?
I think on the latest ones, within 30 minutes, it gets quite a bit of charge.
Ah, so なんだ.
I don't know. You can't charge the whole thing in 30 minutes. Mm. I haven't done it myself, so I don't know. But yeah, I don't actually know where the charging is at this stage. But I do know that they were able to improve the charging speed quite a bit, up to like 80% or something.
いやなんか何年か前まではさ結構5、6時間みたいな感じじゃなかった？で結構一晩中充電しなきゃいけないっていうイメージだったけど、全然そんなことないんだ今は。
I don't know, but I don't think that you would need to charge it for more than that. Unless, I mean, especially if you can't charge at home, you wouldn't run your battery down that low. With these electric cars, I don't know if you know about this BYD company. So BYD is a huge electric car company.
Okay.
In China. And BYD has made thousands, tens of thousands of electric buses and shipped them all over the world. So there's electric buses operating in like London and like Germany and I don't know, other places. And they're actually the largest electric car company on the planet right now, BYD. Like I mentioned earlier, they have more than 600,000 electric cars on the road in China. So with all these electric buses, they're kind of interesting. I was watching some YouTube videos of people reviewing them and like riding the electric buses.
Yeah.
I guess there's like bus nerds. I was watching some bus nerds channel.
Bus otaku.
Yeah. And he was like riding this electric bus around. And they seem nice. There's no issues with the charging or the distance because you use the bus. Buses have really strict routes.
そうだね。
And so it's quite predictable.
Mm.
And so as long as you schedule it properly, then you can run these electric buses with no problem.
Okay.
And they use those in China as well. So, and we have none of that stuff here.
ね、飛ばすとかできないのかな？電気に。
I mean, from a physics standpoint, absolutely, it could have been done a long, long time ago. I don't understand why we don't have electric buses and why we don't have electric ferries. There's all these ferries going around Tokyo Bay. There's no reason for them to not be electric.
Yeah.
Why? It doesn't... For these taxis, the upfront cost of a vehicle, an electric vehicle, is going to be twice as high. If you buy the cars that they typically use for taxis in Beijing are about like 100万. And then an electric one would be 200万. So it costs twice as much. However, because they're taxis and they're driven so much... The payoff period is much less than it would be for your typical consumer. Yeah.
そっか。まあしかも、まあそれによる効果を考えればね、it's definitely worth it, right?
Well, we know that Beijing has had a lot of problems with their air.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were shutting down factories for certain times, and they were trying all of these different things to try to improve the air quality.
私あの家の近くにハイウェイがあるからみんなが電気自動車にしてくれることをずっと願ってんだけど、あのベランダとかやっぱすごい汚くなっちゃうんだよね、排気ガスで。だし、まあ結構うるさいから。みんなが電気自動車にしてくれるとベランダも汚れないし静かになるし、うちの家の中の空気もきれいになりそうだし。
But more than the aesthetics and the dust and stuff, millions of people die every year from air pollution. Literally millions of people. So, so yeah, we want less people to die from air pollution.
Right.
Yeah, it is bizarre how little Japan has done on this whole front. I mean, so China right now is closing down all these coal power plants, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're cutting back their coal capacity quite dramatically and making huge investments in alternative energy. Meanwhile, in the United States, Donald Trump is making deals with all these big coal companies and saying that coal is the... You know, coal is going to bring back all these jobs, and it's always like this clean coal thing. Really, really clean.
Very clean.
Isn't it so bizarre? Think about this. Just in the last couple years, like 2 years ago, Japan and the United States were like the most aggressive with alternative energy and innovating this stuff and...
Really, though?
Yeah, Japan makes the best solar panels in the world. The Japanese companies have developed most of the really advanced solar cell technologies. Yeah, like Kyocera and all these. I don't know. It's weird to see how in just a couple years' time...
China is ahead of us.
China used to be the worst country in terms of the environment and particularly its energy production. You wouldn't really think that it's possible to go back in the completely opposite direction once you know everything.
Yeah.
Like once you have all the information.
Mm-hmm. それが政治の難しいところだよね。こう人が変わっちゃうから知識が蓄積されてないというかさ、本来は蓄積されてるべきなんだけど、それがなぜか、まあ、トランプみたいにこう白紙に戻っちゃって、またやり直しになっちゃうっていうさ。
うん。
まあ人が交代するからそれはある意味仕方ないのかもしれないけど。
It's really unbelievable. Like, if somebody said, or if I saw a movie 20 years ago where like,it was showing the year 2017 and the president of America is like building up coal power. I'd be like, come on. There's no way.
Yeah. まあそれは日本も同じだからね、今安倍さんが同じことしてるけど。
次。A team of researchers at UCLA have discovered that dendrites, a component of neurons in the brain, are not passive conduits as we thought they were.But rather that they are electrically active. Furthermore, the dendrites are generating 10 times more spikes than the somas they are sending to and have variable voltage in addition to the somatic spikes, which are binary events. This suggests that the dendrites may be involved in analog computation and that the level of computational activity in the brain may be over 100 times greater than we previously thought. Mayank Mehta,The study's senior author stated the following. We found that dendrites are hybrids that do both analog and digital computations, which are therefore fundamentally different from purely digital computers, but somewhat similar to quantum computers that are analog. This is a major departure from what neuroscientists have believed for about 60 years. The study is published in the journal Science.
UCLA の研究チームが樹状突起と呼ばれる神経細胞が情報を受け取るための枝状の突起についてこれまで考えられていたような単なる情報の受け皿ではなく電気活性を起こしていることが分かりました。つまり脳内の計算活動のレベルがこれまで考えられていたものの100倍以上である可能性が出てきました。サイエンス誌に掲載された今回の論文を執筆したマヤンク・メヘタ氏は以下のように語っています。私たちは樹状突起がアナログとデジタル両方の計算をしていることを発見しました。つまり純粋にデジタルのみのコンピューターとは基礎から異なり、むしろアナログの量子コンピューターに近いのです。 これは過去60年間脳神経学者たちが信じてきたことから大きくかけ離れています。
Yep.
どういうこと？
Apparently these、dendrites do a lot more than we thought they were. We thought that they were just conduits.、
Mm.
So we thought that they were just、producing these spikes and sending them to the somas.
Right, but その代わりに何をしてるってこと？
Well, we don't know what they're...doing to our thinking necessarily, but、we can sort of infer that the dendrites are involved in some kind of、cognitive activity、
hmm.
in the analog firing that they're doing、so much more often than the somas are.
So this...
It's similar activity to what we were originally observing or assumed、mm-hmm. what was happening.、
Mm-hmm.
It's just way more activity、
mm-hmm.
and non-binary activity.
Okay.
And the non-binary part is the creepy part、mm-hmm. of this discovery.
Right.、
And just the sheer amount of activity suggests that,、that they're doing something.It's hard to... We don't know what any of this stuff is really doing.、
Mm.
We don't understand. Like, I don't think a biologist can really explain how a thought, how you go from a thought、
mm.
to, like, moving your arm.、
Mm.
Like, how could you explain that?
Right.
A thought. You know?
Right.
So, but this is getting us closer, and it reveals something about the inherent nature of...neurons themselves that we had、
mm.
not really suspected before.
Mm-hmm.
And、there's this idea of、free will. Where does our free will come from?
Do we have it?
Do we have free will? Was I supposed to wonder about this?、if we don't have free will, then you're only thinking what you're thinking because you couldn't have thought anything else.、
Mm.
And so the idea of、pursuing truth or understanding or any of this stuff just goes out the window.、
Mm.
But there is a little gap in physics that allows for free will, and that is in quantum mechanics. And so the idea is that the indeterminacy that exists at the quantum level is somehow being bootstrapped by some chemical biological strategy.Into free will. So we're taking、quantum mechanical indeterminacy and、our, you know, this, you know, 50, 40, you know, this block of meat that we operate in, this meat thing,、this life form, this metabolism exists in order to express that indeterminacy in the real world, which we、mm. interpret as free will. That's not at all what Mehta, the author of this study, is suggesting.
Right.
But I would say that the conclusions of this study seem to suggest that,、
hmm.
or at least seem to support that hypothesis,、
hmm.
which is one of the things that makes it really interesting to me anyways.
Right, right. 個人的にね。
Yeah. Well, what do you make of it?
I don't know.
We had this idea, physicists have been saying that we can build the human brain, that there's nothing physically about the brain that cannot be replicated in circuitry. And people have been saying this for a while. Maybe not everyone, but... So people are saying it's not physically impossible、
hmm.
to build a brain using...binary, essentially, like、mm. a computer.、however, if we have this dendrite activity,
right,
which
right,
is analog,、
right.
it makes the problem of artificial intelligence seem a little more involved、
yeah.
than we originally thought.
Right, right.
So what role does quantum mechanics have、mm. in intelligence、
mm-hmm.
and artificial intelligence?
でもじゃあ少なくともそれが解明されるまでは本当に人間 と同じような AI を作ることはなかなか難しいっていうことだよね。
I think so. Because I think
これまで思ってたようにはうまくいかないかもしれないっていうことだよね。まあ、とか今まで思ってたようなスピードではいかないかもしれないよね。だって。
It just means that general AI, the goalposts of general AI have been moved further back,、I think.
そうだよね。
Because there's another aspect of intelligence that will likely need to be replicated before we have true general AI.
Yeah, yeah.
And it seems to me like something cannot、have awareness、unless it is tied in at this quantum level.
そうだね。
Because you can simulate everything else with this binary stuff, but I would just be、surprised if quantum computing wasn't an actual requirement to achieve、consciousness.
Right. Ooh. ちょっと早く Westworld の続き見たいな。
Yeah.
なんか I justなんかああいう風にさビジュアルで見せてくれるとさいろいろ考えやすいじゃん。 It's like, what's awareness?
Yeah,
are they actually aware?
But realistically speaking, there will be no visuals. It will happen overnight and none of us will have a chance. Like that's what most smart people think.
Right. Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah, I'm sure.
There's something that something weird happens when someone or something is just way, way, way smarter than you.Which、yeah. is now you're no longer in control. And so I think that artificial intelligence is the last thing that we'll ever do as a species.
Yeah, probably. That's what a lot of people think.
Yeah. Oh, the way they actually、studied this, since I haven't mentioned it,、previously it was difficult for them to study the...、the activity of these dendrites because anytime they tried to、attach any kind of sensor to them、it would kill those particular cells、so there was no way to measure the activity in these cells without interfering with them until recently they、came up with a new kind of sensor that can just be attached to a mouse、without being directly on their dendrites、and by doing that they were able to monitor the activity in these animals while they were moving、and while they were sleeping in different states、and so you can kind of correlate you know the behavior of the animal to the activity in the dendrites and see if you know is this could this are they doing something or is this what is this、and they found that when they were sleepingthe dendrites were 5 times more active than the soma. And then when they were moving active,、they were 10 times more active than the soma.、But because dendrites make up、so much of the brain, if dendrites are that much more active,、simply because of the sheer number of dendrites,、they estimate that it would actually be...at least 100 times more brain activity than we thought was occurring.
ていうかそんなにいっぱいあるのにこれまでモニターできてなかったってことはさこれから分かることめっちゃありそうじゃない?
Well, yeah, well the implications for this、are massive.
Right.
Not just for...biology, for medical science, for psychology, for
AI,
neuroscience, for artificial intelligence. There's not even going to be fields anymore, it seems like. The guy that, this Meta guy, he's also a professor of astronomy and like astrophysics and...
What?
He works in space stuff, I guess. But he's also a neuroscientist.
What?
But there's a bunch of these guys that do、like space and brain. And because they, I think people are more and more starting to see how similar、a lot of these systems are.
Right. すごいね。 なんか兼業のレベルが違うね、もはや。
Mm. But those are, that's the only way that you're gonna see stuff that other people aren't seeing, is if you're in many disciplines.
そうだね。
次。New research by scientists at the Francis Crick Institute in London suggests that metabolism may be a hardwired chemical phenomenon in nature. Marcus Rausser and his team took chemicals involved in the Krebs cycle and exposed them to sulfate radicals, which then caused a sequence of 24 chemical reactions resembling metabolism. The Krebs cycle is a sequence of reactions which takes place in the mitochondria in most living cells to generate energy during aerobic respiration. Rausser stated the following regarding the finding. With the metabolic pathway alone, you have a very good starting point for life, but it is not life, just a chemical reaction network. You also need things like membranes to contain the reactions and the genetic machinery that enables inheritance.
ロンドンのフランシス・クリック研究所の研究チームが、代謝は自然界に存在する化学的現象である可能性があると発表しました。チームがクエン酸回路に関連する化学物質を硫酸根に触れさせると、代謝に似た24個の化学反応が起きました。クエン酸回路はほとんどの生きた細胞のミトコンドリアで見られる反応で、酸素呼吸でエネルギーを得るためのものです。研究に携わったマーカス・ラルサー氏は以下のように述べています。代謝経路は生命のスターティングポイントではありますが、それだけではまだ生命ではなく、単なる化学反応ネットワークです。生命には反応を収容する膜組織や遺伝を可能にする遺伝機構などが必要です。
Yep.
生命があって代謝してるんじゃなくて、代謝だけもありえるってことだよね。生命なしの代謝もありってことだよね。
Yeah, well, it sort of becomes a semantic issue.
そっか。
I think
何がいい生命かってこと。
Our semantic positions on all this stuff is based on our previous understandings, and so while people are doing research on stuff, they run into these problems where reality defies our definitions of reality.
Right, right.
But yeah, you wouldn't really consider it life, based on the definition of life. But it's another thing where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line between metabolism and life? And what is it about life that makes it different life from metabolism?
Yeah.
Do you know?
Does anyone know? What?
I don't think that there is a difference, honestly. I think there's a difference in the complexity level of the system. That's primarily what it is.
このさ、クエン酸回路に関連する化学物質が硫酸根に触れるっていうことはさ、これ今人工的にやってるわけじゃない？それは人工的にやらなくても自然界の中で起きてることなの？これって。
Yes, well, we're trying to, if you can prove that it is possible and that the chemicals are there and the conditions exist, then you can probabilistically assume that it happened. But, I mean, there are a lot of theories for how life began, you know, but none of them are super good.
っていうかさ、代謝の代謝ってクエン酸回路があって初めて起きることなの？ Like, does it require, does it always require,
well, there are different
aerobic respiration? Like, I mean, I'm talking about fetus, like, for example, like, they're not, are they?
Well, it's aerobic, so the Krebs cycle requires oxygen, right? There are hypothetical, there's like methanogenic life, not hypothetical, but there's life that runs on other things. And there's also the reductive Krebs cycle. And so they believe that before Earth was oxygenated, there were life forms then as well. So one point that's been brought up sort of as a counter to this or an asterisk to this research is simply that there was life on Earth pre-oxygen.
Right.
So you can't say that life started with an aerobic Krebs cycle. But this is... So they're specifying that there should be research done with the reductive Krebs cycle, which doesn't have that circumstantial requirement to operate. But this is a good step in demonstrating that metabolic processes can be hardwired in nature and in chemical reactions.
Yeah.
And if you look at the Krebs cycle itself, it's quite involved and complex. And so
I was just wondering, like, human, mm-hmm. I mean, what is life is always questioned for, like, pro-choice and pro-life kind of conversation. Mm-hmm. But sperms and eggs of humans, for example, they have metabolism, right?
They're alive, yeah.
So
if
you decide that mm-hmm. if it has metabolism, it's life,
mm-hmm.
then, I mean, I'm just wondering what the religious people would think.
Well, religious
about
people
this
think
new information that we're just talking about right now.
Well, it really becomes a semantic issue, and the meaning,
right? So it's
the
like
definition
it,
of
it,
life is conferred. So.
It really like it could really expand the definition of life for certain people, right?
Well, yeah. Even in the absence of this, I think the definition of life should be drastically expanded. The idea that viruses aren't included is ridiculous to me. Like what? They're
machines.
Like, yeah, what are they then? It doesn't make sense. From a scientific standpoint, I would say that it's hard to argue that the life of a baby begins at birth. You know, I think there's no argument for that. Just objectively speaking.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, I also think that a lot of things that are quite relatively simple are life. So
right.
There's a theory that life began with. This sort of takes it further back than the RNA concept. So there was RNA, self-assembling RNA, and then RNA leading to DNA, leading to more and more complex stuff. Metabolism is more fundamental than that.
Right.
And so what they're looking for is just a sequence of chemical reactions that occur in nature without anyone having to do anything. And it's involving these compounds that, of course, resulted from star explosions, right? And so we needed the stars to explode in order to make these more complex and organic compounds.
Right.
So we could trace this back to some whatever it is. And then we would have to trace that back into these stars and trace that back, yeah. You know. But to me, my suspicion is that everything in this universe has always been doing this from the very beginning. It's not a question that starts with metabolism, in my mind. How did we get planets? How did we get solar systems? How did we get... And all of this stuff comes in a very particular order. Certain particles had to form. Like a lot of different phases are coming in the timeline of the universe. And metabolism or life itself seems to be some new phase on a very small scale, some sort of crystallization of information being generated from these, this quantum indeterminacy. And this is why we are the most recent thing in the universe,
mm-hmm.
and we're also the most complex thing in the universe. If the universe wasn't complexifying, then that couldn't be true. It wouldn't make any sense. Yeah, so this is just a peek into that whole, where did all this, how do you get life from non-life question?
Yeah.
And the answer seems to be, you get life from non-life because life isn't really a thing.
Right.
It's just a gradual, you know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, some people think God came in the room and flicked the light on.
Yeah. Just like that.
What do you think?
I don't know.
Are you okay not having an answer?
Yeah.
Yeah?
No, I mean, like, I do want answers, but it's like there's so many questions out there that cannot be answered.
But where life came from is one of the top major, major questions.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So it's like, I mean, that's why it was so interesting to talk to people like Komatsu-san or Takai-san, right? It's like mm-hmm. everyone is looking at different places and
yeah.
be like, you know, where did it come from? And these people are looking at something totally different too, yeah. I guess. So
there's still, to me, it seems like there's still a gap between biology and the study of abiogenesis and cosmology.
Mm.
Because of the way that science works, if you look at some field of data and there's just one data point that's weird, usually statistically you'll throw that outlier out.
Mm.
And that's kind of what has happened with the phenomenon of life in the universe. You know, because we only have one planet out of all of the billions and trillions of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so it's been difficult to contextualize life from a cosmological perspective. It doesn't really fit.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it's weird to just look at one field. Like when we don't even know where our water came from, for example, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all connected, right?
Mm-hmm. Where did we come from? Was it aliens?
We're Martian.
I really like the 2001 theory as well. You know?
Yeah.
Like, where did I hear this? There's a quote that goes, "This was a quiet neighborhood before the monkeys got out of control." You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's so weird when you think about what we're doing.
What we're doing.
Compared to other animals.
Well, it's weird to think about how we're all doing different things.
Yeah.
Monkeys do what monkeys do. Squirrels do squirrel stuff. You know, all the animals kind of have an agenda for their, you know, various outdoor activities.
Yeah.
But for us, there's this, oh, you know, well, there's certain things that we're supposed to do, but we all go into different fields. We do different things. We have different personalities. Every single human being really is, in my mind, scientifically, the way that I see it is like every single person is operating as a unique species on this planet.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. For sure. And it's, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's weird.
It is weird. But once a species becomes dominant, each member of that species has to act as if they were a different species, Otherwise, you're not going to have competition.
Yeah.
Certainly not competition of ideas, which seems to be the new mode of evolution now. We kind of think that evolution is this phenomenon that just stays in animals for some reason, and it's not an actual physical property of the universe. But it is.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that okay with you? I don't know. I'm going out on a limb.
I just spent all my energy for my first story. Sorry.
Yeah.
This is way too deep. Way too deep.
It is deep, but, you know, this is what the research is. This is deep stuff.
Yeah. Well, deep stuff is always the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You space out.
No, I mean, it depends. Just not right now.
Yeah. You saw that time crystals thing, yeah? Did you see that?
What's that?
I sent you this article about the Floquet time crystals.
Oh, yeah. あれもなんかめっちゃ不思議だったね。
Yeah, the time crystals thing, that it's so perplexing, but it's this, basically they found that there's, it's like impossible to word this without mangling it, but some kind of oscillations at the quantum level that don't dissipate their energy, but rather they continue oscillating almost permanently. And yeah, I don't even know, but I'm assuming this idea will come back around, this whole time crystal thing, and maybe we'll figure out what it's about. But because right now it seems somewhat speculative and impossible to understand. Yeah.
There are so many things that humans are learning every day.
Knowledge is power.
I wonder where we're all going.
Where should we go if we had a choice? Assuming we could just decide.
Well, I hope we can just stop destroying the environment and killing all the animals. That's what I've been thinking about every day recently for my own project. But やっぱりなんかその、まあ1個目の話のね、大林行動ネットワークの人たちとか、まあ自分のパームオイルのプロジェクトを一緒にやってくれてる人たちとか、その人たちはもうずっと活動家として毎日まあ環境のことを考えてきてるわけで、そういう人たちから話を教えてもらったりとか、 自分でもいろいろ考えたりしてると、やっぱりなんかこれはすごい優先順位が高いことなんじゃないかと思うわけじゃん、人類にとって。ただ全体で見ると経済活動の方が優先順位が高くて、まあ個人個人に至っては環境問題の優先順位なんてものすごい低いじゃん、っていうのをなんか常に考えてると、人間
何してんだろうなと思って。フラストレーションが結構たまるね、やっぱり。人間っていうかね、まあ人間もそうなんだけど、やっぱメディアが何してんだろうなっていうのが一番今大きくて、フラストレーション的には。Well, the media's job is to tell people what they want to hear. Advertise.
ただそのボイスがある状態でオーディエンスがたくさんいる時に、その本当に危機意識がなくて、ただ無知でその話をしてないのか、それとも上から捨てられちゃってるのか、なんかどういう理由があるのか、まあそれぞれあると思うんだけど、
Mm.
なんか本当に何してんだろうなって思う。
Well, I think the only thing we can do, the only thing anyone can do, is give people, help people find the information.
Yeah.
And then let people do what they want to do.
Right.
And we'll find out whether or not our society really cares or not. We'll find out whether or not humanity is, well, like, we'll find out what we are.
Yeah.
But when people don't have access to the information, or people are held in a state of ignorance.
Yeah.
You know, for profit. I don't know. It's, how could this change? It's weird, yeah, to try to break something.
Yeah, that's what, like this. That's so, what's making me so confused and frustrated and at times infuriated, because I'm just thinking about this PR stuff for palm oil, and it's so complicated, especially in Japan, because of the mentality and motivation of the media here.
Mm.
So it's really hard.
Just go around it.
Yeah, I might just really walk, have to go around it.
Just
like
walk
that's
around.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about with my friend who's working on it together with me. Like, yeah, we can't rely on them, you know.
Oh, well, we just went around it today. No, didn't you just go around
today?
It?
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Didn't you just go around it?
So, これあれ。
なんだ。What is the problem?
そう、今日はね、本当そう、これ絶対バイリンガルニュースが一番最初のメディアだもん、この話してるのは。あの、私リリース書いたし、まず。だから。
疲れ。
So, そうだね。Yeah, we need to go around it. I mean, I had certain expectation, I guess, but I might have to throw that away.
Mm.
And just, you know, depend more on, or put more faith in people and internet and
yeah,
the listeners of the show. And
well, if that whole Kony thing can happen, like, you know, all kinds of crazy social stuff happens,
yeah,
all the time.
そうだね。
You know, there are GIFs where every single person I know have seen those GIFs.
Mm.
You know, and it's just a GIF.
Yeah.
But it's like, if we can have that kind, that level of contagiousness of a meme that is positive and that informs people,
yeah,
and is somewhat actionable, then why wouldn't you go around it? It's,
yeah,
faster.
そうだね。
So, and there's something like, it's, there's important to organic growth. There's important to involvement,
mm,
somewhat directly from people, and then it doesn't belong to any organization. It doesn't belong to anyone.
Yeah.
You know? So.
そうだね。そう、でも個人的にやっぱりこういうあの活動を実際にずっとしてきてる人たちと話させてもらったりとか協力したりするっていうことによって、なんか自分、なんか環境問題云々以前に自分個人的に、なんていうの、 like it's like this purpose, you know, it's like, oh, this is what I should be doing right now, exactly, like no question, this is what I really have to do now, so なんか個人的にもそれはありがたいっていうか素晴らしいなと思う。So, 終わりですか、お話は。
Yeah.
文字起こしのテキストは、iPhone と Mac と Android のアプリから購入できますので試してみてください。最初の3話は無料で、あとは単発での購入もできるし、月額240円で全部読み放題という激安のプランもありますので、ぜひ試してみてください。あと月額のプランに入るとリーディング練習用のエッセイとかも読めたり、
うん、
私がどうやって英語勉強したかっていうすごい細かい話とかもあるので、ぜひ見てください。あとあれだよね、アプリはあの単語テスト機能とかメモ帳機能とかいろいろついてるし、あの どんどんどんどん改良されてるので、マイケルが頑張って結構ね、機能が増えたり使いやすくなったり変わってきてる。
It should be getting better. An update for iOS is, I guess it's being reviewed right
okay.
now. So
cool.
I don't know when it'll finish, but probably within a week.
Yeah. あとサイトももうすぐだよね。実は T シャツのサンプルを作って今それ私着てるんだけど、めっちゃ可愛いよね。
It looks good. It looks like it fits you.
うん。しかもこの色も結構好き。この灰色みたいな。All right.
The picture too.
終わり。
以上です。
Bye.
Bye.